This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, 20 years before, on 9/11/2001. Cliff, your memory of that day, when you first heard, what you thought, and how the day spilled out for you. Where were you, Cliff? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Well, yes, I was working in a consulting firm as it happened. I had a small TV in my room. I remember, as you recall, it was a particularly beautiful day. I either heard or saw on TV that a plane had hit one of the World Trade Towers. My first thought was, oh, terrible accident. I wonder, maybe it was a Piper Cub or something like that from New Jersey. How does this happen? Little by little, it became clear this was a passenger jet. This would be unlikely that this would happen by accident. And of course, then the second plane hit. And at that point, anybody who was thinking knew. And I think I remember saying to somebody else who was in the think tank business. I was not at that point. You know, in a way, we had asked ourselves why America hadn't been hit by terrorists the way, say, Israel had been hit by terrorists over and over again. This is in a certain way overdue, but we understood what this was.
How did the day spill out for you? Did you have a sense of who did it or why or where it came from? When did you have confidence that you knew what the scale was?
Fairly rapidly, I was certainly aware of Osama bin Laden and saw it that way. And I remember, I can't remember quite why, I being on some radio show, actually. I think it was a BBC show. I used to do the BBC more often than I do these days. And I raised the very distinct possibility that Osama bin Laden was behind this. And I remember the hosts chiding me, saying, well, we don't know that, do we? We don't actually have any evidence of that. Why are you pointing towards it was Muslims or this sort of thing? Why do you think that, Clifford? You know? And it was sort of having an argument saying, well, we don't have proof, but there's various clues that might suggest this would be the same person who blew up our embassies in 1998, the same person who was responsible for the bombing of the USS Cole off the coast of Yemen in 2000. There had been the person who in 1998 declared war on the United States, and we said, ha ha, how can a guy in a cave in Afghanistan declare war on the United States? Well, in fact, of course, he had.
You write columns every year for the last 20 years. And they're now, to me, time capsules, Cliff, because you wrote columns for George Bush, for Barack Obama, for Donald Trump, and now a column for Joe Biden, and many Congresses in between, all manner of voices. I'm attracted to the time you wrote a column praising John Kerry, because he was integral into the decision-making for what the U.S. would do, the Democratic majority, the Democratic minority, but we know he would go on to be a significant political force when he ran for president in 04 and Secretary of State, and now again involved intimately in the fate of the U.S. Your vision of both parties that early on, during the Bush administration, was there a united effort, Cliff, or is that just a hazy memory that I have?
Well, what I recall particularly, and I have written a column, an anniversary column every year, I felt obligated to do that, was that at that point, Senator Kerry, presidential candidate, had called the attacks of 9/11 our generation's Pearl Harbor. And I thought, well, that's a good thing. He recognizes what this is. But I questioned in my column whether he grasped the implication of what that means to say it's Pearl Harbor. In particular, there's a quote attributed to a Japanese admiral, Isoroku Yamamoto, who feared that after Pearl Harbor, the Japanese had awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. And I wasn't yet sure that we were an awakened sleeping giant filled with a terrible resolve. And there was one other thing. I already saw that there were those who wanted to get this over with quickly. And I asked in the column that if President Roosevelt, after Pearl Harbor, had been asked, well, what's your exit strategy? Or how long is this war going to last? It's not going to be an endless war. It's not going to be a forever war. What would he have said? And it occurred to me that Roosevelt would have said, we are in it for the duration. We are in it for as long as it takes to defeat our enemies. That's how long we're in it. We have no exit strategy. Certainly Churchill would have said the exit strategy is victory and defeat of our enemies, unconditional surrender by our enemies, not what's just happened in Afghanistan, which is our unconditional surrender to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
The columns for the Bush administration had to take into account the Iraq tragedy as well as the Afghanistan tragedy. Do you recall in the columns that you were making a distinction between the two, or were they all merged as one? We can't see the future, so I'm going to your time capsules to what we knew then.
Yeah, quite right. Because this was seen or defined as a war on terrorism, anybody who was a terrorist would be within our sights. And I'm not saying there wasn't justification for going after Saddam Hussein on many levels, but that doesn't mean it was the most strategic thing to do at a time when we had not defeated the Taliban. We had toppled the Taliban, and we had not decimated or destroyed or totally weakened Al-Qaeda. I did praise the Bush administration for its national strategy for combating terrorism, which declared that the U.S. would, quote, kill or capture the terrorists, deny them safe haven and control of any nation, prevent them from gaining access to WND. I thought, okay, we've moved along in the right direction. But as you suggest, I don't think there was terrorists were terrorists. And so the difference between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, it was not particularly clear, I think, in the strategic imagination of the United States.
The time capsules are opened at the Washington Times. I want to come to what you've learned from writing these 20 columns. What now do we tell the young people about the 20-year commitment of the military, blood and treasure? Is it over, Cliff, or do we step aside for the time and then reenter in some other fashion?
Yeah, so two points I guess I want to make here. One is it's not a war on terrorism any more than World War I was a war against U-boats. Terrorism is a weapon used by our enemies because it's convenient for them. They like unconventional warfare. We have to understand better who our enemies are. Second, Americans are impatient people. I understand that. But the idea that a 20-year conflict is a long war or an endless war or a forever war is really nonsense. Just to give a couple of examples, let me point out that Islamic armies that sprang out of Arabia in the 7th century entered Spain, I believe it was in the year 711. And Christian armies and kingdoms and Islamic caliphates began to fight a long war. That war lasted, everyone knows the end of that war. 1492 was the expulsion of all the Muslims and the Jews, by the way, from Spain. So that was like a 700-year war. But the other thing that people don't know, too few people know, we can't be sure why 9/11 was chosen by Osama bin Laden, but there's a pretty good theory that he chose 9/11 because something else happened on 9/11/1683. And that was that the Islamic caliphates and caliphate and empire was driven from the gates of Vienna, where it was attempting to enter and conquer all of Europe. And I believe that it's likely that Osama bin Laden said it is time to revive the jihad against Europe, against America, against the West, against the Crusaders, against Christendom, against all that. And that's why I'm going to do this again on 9/11. Keep in mind, the other thing that people forget is that at the end of World War One, the last great Islamic empire and caliphate, the Ottomans, collapsed because the Ottoman Empire aligned itself with the Germans in World War One. There are plenty of people not around the world who think it is time to reestablish a caliphate and an Islamic empire and defeat the infidels and the Muslim apostates and the Muslim heretics who are their allies. We need to understand that that's what this war is about. And if so, it's going to be a long war because it really started 1400 years ago.
Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, reminding all of us the past is prologue. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.